Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Trouble with the Snap Podcast on a Friday, Black Friday. All of you shoppers out there, be careful. Traffic is horrendous. People have lost their minds. And just shop Amazon. Make it real easy for yourself this holiday season. But it is a holiday, and we got a lot of basketball to talk about in the holiday season here. What a fantastic week it has been for both Michigan State and Michigan as far as the traveling. Get to have some holiday tournaments this year. It's always fun this time of year. You know, it's always a good time. I mean, you know, as a former college basketball player, I remember some holiday tournaments I was a part of. It's just, there's no time better. I mean, I look back and, you know, when I was playing at Western Michigan, you know, we played Arizona State for a holiday tournament around the New Year's, and it was just fun. It's a lot of fun. These young athletes get to do some things that people would dream of doing. And, by the way, they get to do it for free. So I want to add that because we have a lot of talk about NCAA. We have a lot of things that are seem to be always negative. Let's remind people that a trip of a lifetime for a lot of these collegiate athletes, not on their dime. And most people have to pay for that. So I just think that even though that's a little off base saying that, I think it is perfect time to say, be thankful. Be thankful for the things you have. And Tyler and I are certainly thankful for this show. We're thankful to bring Michigan State, Michigan coverage. Boy, we got a lot to cover today, Tyler, as he's on with me now. Look, let's just dive into basketball. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. There's been a lot of things that I've been right about this year in sports. There's been a lot of things I've been terribly wrong about.
A lot more.
There's just no way, Tyler, we can't not talk about Juwan Howard. I mean, I think that no matter how good or bad North Carolina is, buckle up because the hype train is for real now, and you know how it gets in this state. And now when you beat the sixth-ranked team, and you're already Michigan, good luck. You guys are going to be hearing a lot about it this year. I mean, I don't think Jimmy Dykes could stop talking about Michigan and Juwan Howard. Hey, Jimmy, Oregon and Gonzaga are playing. You realize that, right? But let's talk about it, Tyler. I mean, it's out of control. I mean, the hype's far too soon, but it's here now. I mean, it is here now as Michigan wins 73-64 over North Carolina. Let's break down Michigan basketball, though. I mean, Tyler, there's some things I've definitely seen that I thought were surprising. Give me your input.
Well, I mean, I think generally speaking, I think you kind of sold them a little bit short. I'm not saying I didn't either. Look, I didn't think they were going to beat North Carolina. But I did see them beating Iowa State. I feel like this was just the type of team that, you know, you start blowing out Appalachian State, and then you start realizing, hey, you know, we're better than these guys. It is what it is. And you let them jump back into the game. And it's just a little harder to fend them off or kill momentum when you don't have a pure score. And they didn't have a pure score in that game. It looks like you may start finding a little bit of help in Wagner, but we're not 100% sure yet because, you know, these are only his first couple games, and so there's not a lot of tape on
him. He was brutal yesterday. He was absolutely brutal yesterday. You know what I think it is, Tyler? This is what it reminds me of. This is where I was right this year, maybe once, in predicting sports. It's been a crazy year. I told you, and you remember, I said, and Michigan football is going to struggle at the beginning of the season. They're going to have turnovers. They're going to fumble the ball. They're not used to doing RPO reads. That was the one time where I could stick my chest out and say it was absolutely 100% true. We could have something in reverse with basketball, but basketball is a very momentum-swinging game where sometimes guys just don't figure it out at the beginning of the season. Shots aren't falling, and then, boom, March comes. A month where Michigan State's been so successful, and they figured it all out, and they're just rolling. We may have that now with Michigan basketball where they're rolling, they're beating teams maybe they shouldn't, but they're just not that good yet. And that's just kind of where I stand. I don't think they have enough yet. And then look at it even yesterday in the game.
A huge test.
Oh, I think that there's just absolutely no way, and you know, there's just no way Michigan beats Gonzaga today. They have no depth to play that team. Gonzaga has size, which I think Michigan's been successful at times because of their size. And now you're going to be in a position where Xavier Simpson has to hit shots. And I don't know what's going on there, but he's just can't make plays, you know, and he's getting in foul trouble. And I'll be quite honest with you, Juwan loves David DeJulius. And David DeJulius has done a fantastic job as the backup point guard. I thought yesterday he was brilliant. And he controlled the game. He didn't have too many turnovers. I'd have to look at the stats. I would probably say only a few. He's hitting shots when he's open, which is like, wow, we really need that at that position. There's just a lot of things we could cover here about Michigan. One thing that I noticed, though, Tyler, that I thought was really interesting was how Juwan switched defenses a lot. And I thought that was a big coaching move where I said the timing of it, too, made sense. Where North Carolina scored 4 or 5 straight buckets. No, we're not staying in this. We can't guard them. Then they went zone, slowed them down. Then they went back to a pressure man. Then they went back to the zone. I thought Juwan Howard, to be honest with you, he was fantastic yesterday.
Yeah, and I mean, that's one of the things is, you know, I talked about the book not being out on Wagner. The book's not out on Howard either yet. And
no.
Obviously, when you play North Carolina in one game and then you play Gonzaga in the next, you're going to see a little bit more of that book. You're not just going to see the cover of it. And I think I'm not saying, like, it's going to anything that, you know, he's doing right now, or he's not going to just completely regress and look incompetent or anything like that. But, look, there's certain things that it takes getting used to. You know, David Blau had an excellent game for the Detroit Lions. You know, let's see what happens if Driscoll can't go the next couple weeks. Is the book going to be out on him to where he starts regressing a little bit?
You couldn't help yourself today. You couldn't help yourself. You did it again. You had to go
so
to the Lions. Don't get me started.
I was just so devastated.
Don't get me started.
You know what I'm saying, though? Like, there's just like Kentucky basketball, the same type of situation. You know, yeah, you know a little bit about these guys because, you know, Tom has recruited some of these guys. But Kentucky basketball, year in and year out, always the hardest team to scout because you may know about the guys, what they did in high school or prep school or however they were doing it, and you just don't know how Calipari is going to use them. They're the toughest team to scout week one, game one.
Sure.
But once the book comes out on them, given the amount of talent Calipari brings in, you know, he's not had the most success in the world. And so it's just one of those situations
right.
where the book is starting to come out on Juwan Howard. This was his first really big game, and so he probably had a lot of stuff saved up that, you know, we haven't seen throughout the course of the season now.
Well, that's not what it was. What it was is this, is we'll dive into it in right now. This is the book being opened for Juwan, which I think was great and why I am a little excited about Michigan basketball. He made a statement after the game.
I'm not trying to kill the hype train and the momentum. Look, Michigan, I thought, was really underrated coming into this year. You know, even by some of my standards, I was like, you know, I feel like they can do a little better. I feel like they have the guys who can step up, but without Wagner, and we need to see what he's like after the injury before, you know, we really start giving them some of that credit. And obviously, Howard's coaching, see what that's like before we start giving them that credit. Look, Michigan's, based on their preseason projection and where their ceiling actually is, there is a big difference, and they can easily get to that ceiling. And it looks even better yesterday.
Yeah, I think I don't care if you play North Carolina in a park. If you beat them, it matters. You know, I mean, those are very, very talented players. I think North Carolina is still a work in progress. I don't think that's a Final Four team, but I think they're a work in progress. They got a ton of talent every year. What you see with Ray Williams and his teams is what you're going to get. Super long, super athletic, and they have a star in Cole Anthony. So, you know, when you beat a team like that, there's just no way you can't talk about it. I mean, it matters. It just has to matter. And I always say this, so it's the common never too high, never too low. And I still think that's where I am with Michigan basketball. The one thing that Juwan said after the game that it was totally true and what most of us thought to ourselves, boy, they play hard. And that tells me a lot about the respect they have for Juwan Howard. And also the thing that he said is it doesn't really matter what you run. You know, guys got to play hard and guys got to get it done. And that tells me, look, that's a hard team to prepare for then, because you can say, oh, Michigan runs this, Michigan runs that. No, these guys just play hard. You better box out. And you know how I felt about Beilein over the years. As much as I've really enjoyed his offense, that's the one thing that was missing, Tyler, where they didn't always play hard. Where you look at Michigan State last year in the second half at the Breslin Center, Sparty just wanted it more. And that was a slap in the face. And that is solely on what that program in Michigan has been. Fluid, fantastic on offense. You better hang on to your shorts because they got a lot of things they do on offense. But just punch them in the mouth, just out-rebound them, and you'll be all right. Case point, Beilein's last loss, Texas Tech, just slapped them around. I mean, they beat them up inside. They were more physical. And I'll be honest with you, if Juwan can get players, this is all I'm going to say, if Juwan can get talent, and that talent plays hard, as this team is playing, they're going to be a scary basketball program. But you just don't know. You just don't know who you're going to get, what player is going to go where. Isaiah Todd hasn't even signed yet. So there's a lot of things out there with Michigan basketball. I'm just saying it's really nice to see them playing more physical. You can't just drive to the paint and get easy buckets on them. They're going to try to block shots. They foul now. Good. Thank you. Be aggressive. Be physical. I mean, don't just let guys get whatever they want. And I think it threw North Carolina off. I truly do. I think they were surprised with the defense of Michigan. I can't believe I'm saying that because they've looked atrocious on defense at times this year. But they figured out a few things, and they played hard. And I'll tell you what, man, that, to me, six games into the season and they're playing that hard, I think that looks squarely at Juwan Howard. I think that points to his direction and says, A plus for you for getting this team who was a little lesser to play that hard.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I'm impressed with what they did yesterday. I thought they were going to beat Iowa State, but look, and you said we're still trying to figure out North Carolina. Well, we know what Gonzaga is.
Yeah.
We know what Gonzaga is. Gonzaga's got so many returners from last year. We know Gonzaga is, so we'll see a little bit more today. And I've got like one leg in the pool on Juwan Howard right now before I jump in. I'm still touching.
I think they lose today.
I think
what a win today for Michigan would be play hard.
I'll cannonball in the deep end if they get that W today.
Just imagine what it will be like here. Oh my gosh, there might be bobbleheads and trucks. I'll be passing people on 23 on the highway here, getting into 94. And I'm going to have Juwan Howard bobblehead bouncing around in some guy's Ford truck. It's going to be insanity. I mean, it's already getting over the top. I think reality will set in, and I think reality is a good thing. I think today Gonzaga beating us down would be a very eye-opening experience for some of these young players. I think it would be really good for guys like Brandon Johns, who seems to still can't figure it out. Look, I don't knock players, but this guy needs to play better. I mean, he comes in and he's not prepared. And we have a lot of depth problems at the forward position and wing position.
Yeah,
that guy needs to play better. And, David DeJulius is playing really, really well. Eli Brooks has said, bye-bye, Jordan Poole. That's cool. I'll score 23 on North Carolina. We don't need you. That's what you do as a player. And I don't knock kids. I just tell kids, you got to step up. Brandon Johns has looked so bad at times, and that can't happen. They need him, and it's his time to step up. Wagner was terrible yesterday. I mean, I think the excuse for him is a little valid. He hasn't played enough, but at the same time, hey, you played against men. You're this guy that they expect to do well. You got to play better. And he just doesn't look like he's in the swing of things yet fully, but when you're playing North Carolina, that's tough. But like I said, the last thing I'll say about Michigan basketball is reality will set in today, and it will be a good thing. People will realize they don't have a lot of depth. I think they'll play extremely hard. But when you don't have depth and you play three games in a row, that's where you get knocked around. And I think that will also be a problem if they do get to the NCAA tournament. When you're playing Thursday, Saturday after a long season, or Friday, Sunday, when you don't have depth and a few guys get foul trouble, you're in big trouble. And I think that's still where Michigan is. But let's go Michigan State. I mean, look, I know that a lot of people are having a lot of negative things to say about Sparty. Look, my thing is, again, no highs, no lows. I stay in the middle with Sparty. I think there's things they're trying to figure out, Tyler. I know you have a huge opinion on that, and I know we got a lot of things to discuss about basketball. Just give your early season, I don't know if I'd say grade or – why don't we just do that? You know, an early season, preseason grade for Michigan State basketball right now.
B plus.
And I got to tell you that. Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah. Cassius Winston is every bit the best point guard in the country that we've expected. You know, to do what he's doing after what he went through is one of the more incredible things I've ever seen in my life. The guy has.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And he's completely balled out against quality competition, Seton Hall. He didn't really have his best game, but he hit the – he didn't really hit the game winner. That was more of a weak call, but he hit the shot that, you know, put Michigan State where they needed to be in that game. He had 28-8 the other night. He had 20 points – he had 20 points Wednesday. Sorry, I'm getting all my days mixed up here. Thanksgiving and the holiday kind of threw it off.
Yeah,
he had 20 points on Wednesday, and he's the problem that Michigan State has is, hey, they need to figure out what they're doing at the four spot, and that's a conversation you and I have had going since what, game one. they need to figure out what they're doing at the four spot. They need to figure out. Mark Watts Jr. needs to figure out his role. Now, those of you that don't know, we've refrained from calling him Rocket until he earns the nickname. Something a mutual friend of me and Jeremy came up with that I'm going to just go ahead and take. Yeah, so Mark Watts Jr. needs to figure out what his role is. And he needs to realize that he needs to play that Matt McQuaid-type role. You need to be that stopper.
Yeah.
But you also need your shot to start falling so people can respect it. And that opens up the lane more for Cassius and Tillman off the pick and roll. Tillman needs to figure out how to be that second star.
Yeah,
Henry
that is tough, man. I mean,
Henry's good at that third spot, but Tillman needs to figure out how to be that second star, and he needs to play with, you know, some of the toughness that Michigan basketball played with yesterday. We're being pranked because that's been his biggest problem is his inability to finish around the basket. He's not catching everything that normally comes his way, and I always said he's had great hands, so I don't know what his deal is there. But I think those are just the things that Michigan State needs to do to get to an A+. Like, other than that, I think they're, you know, it's a great basketball team. The Georgia comeback, I think, was a little fluky because they were playing against Anthony Edwards, who, you know, is projected second overall pick in the NBA draft. And his nickname is Ant. And did you know an ant can carry 50 times its body weight? There's over 12,000 species of ants.
Too much turkey.
Too much Bill Walton.
Yeah. Talk about a turkey, Bill Walton. My gosh, just talk about the game.
Yeah, but look, the Edwards thing was a little fluky. You know, Michigan State got up on the screens, and he was still hitting shots over him. And so that Georgia game, I think, was a little fluky as far as the comeback. It was just one of those things. Guy gets hot, can't miss. It's not like Michigan State was playing terrible defense against him. So I think there's still good defensively. I think Michigan State is still a top defensive team. Especially like we saw in the second half of last year when Ward went down. I just think the guys need to figure it out offensively what their role is now. Like, Tillman was a villain who exceeded expectations, and now it's like, hey, you're number two. You know, with Noah McQuaid, you're the second guy.
I think sometimes what happens, Tyler, is when you have a lot of depth, which Michigan State does, I think a lot of guys are trying to figure out that role. And I think what happens, too, when the competition's thick, two things happen. I've been a part of this in basketball many times. It strengthens your team in the long run because now guys are competing so hard. And also what happens is you have players who play unconfident because they just don't know if, you know, they're looking over their shoulder. This is the constant with this basketball program, though. Strong depth, a lot of different guys playing, guys trying to figure out their role, and they strengthen themselves for March. If people don't realize that, they just don't know basketball one or Michigan State basketball. This is what this team does. This is what this program does. They work hard at developing depth. They say you better earn it, and we are going to be a strong team come March. We got to weather the storms. Nothing's ever changed with Tom Izzo. Weather the storms. Break these guys down, build them back up at the best time of the year. We had a high school basketball coach that was the same way. I mean, you know, you always felt like you were never doing enough good. And then when March came, you felt like, I think we can make a run. I mean, and that's why our high school has been so successful. He follows the same mold that Tom Izzo does. They probably lose a few games to teams they never should. And then, you know, hey, some years it's a magical year. They don't lose at all. But, you know, really,
well,
in the end, they build up.
How many times did our high school get swept by our rival? But then when it came time for the district championship, you know, it was a no contest. And our high school beat them down.
Yeah.
That's the type of thing that you
I
get.
I think that's basketball. That's basketball. I mean, that's college basketball. That's not pro basketball. That's college basketball where you get better throughout the year. You find a way to be at your best in March because now it's a one-game tournament. Hey, every game, winner you're out, which is the awesomest tournament there is. And that's why you have to prepare for that. You got to have multiple kids stepping up. And that's where Michigan State is A++.
Yeah. Speaking of looking over your shoulder, I mean, I think that's most evident at the power forward position. You know, you look at Marcus Bingham. Marcus Bingham got back into the starting lineup, but then he gets pulled after 2 minutes. Even though he had 2 blocks and 2 rebounds. But the problem is he's not executing the offense to where Tillman can get the ball comfortably. And that's a big part of Izzo's offense. And that's why you see Bingham go to the bench instead of Hall, who Hall can open it up a little bit more. And it doesn't help when Bingham is a little softer than what you want. But if you're softer and you're hitting the three-pointers, you know, that's kind of what we expect. But his shot isn't falling either, you know. There's been so much talk about Watts and his shot not falling. Bingham's isn't really falling either. And both of those guys are really good shooters. And so I think those things just need to happen. You know, it's a little scary to say it's a shooting slump at the beginning of the year just because it may not be a beginning-of-the-year type issue. But that's what it seems like based upon what we've seen from these guys so far.
I think here's what I go with the statement about the four. I mean, look, you know, Tyler and I talked about this probably hours on end, and we have a wonderful friend who loves to say some great stuff, and it's kind of funny. You know, we all talk sports besides just this show. And you know, me and Tyler watch the games, actually. Imagine that. We actually know what's going on. A lot of people just talk and have no idea what's going on. The one thing that people need to realize, the positive of what Tom Izzo does is he's not going to allow you to make mistakes. And he's going to, in a way, save you from making even more mistakes. And it's a learning curve all the time if you play for Tom Izzo. And I have friends that played for him. I have former pro players who played for him. And their comments were this: if you mess up, you're going to hear about it. If you don't know where you're going, if you don't know what you're doing, you're coming out. And Tom Izzo is old school in that way, and that's okay. And actually, it's the reason why they're so strong all the time. It's also the reason why in a one-game tournament they could lose. It doesn't mean that Tom Izzo is a bad basketball coach. What it means is it's his way. He's going to do things his way. And what happens is you've seen it in Syracuse a few years. The things that the people were saying were ridiculous because if Michigan State makes shots that were wide open from outside, and we're not having this conversation about playing certain guys. if you rewind that tape, you go back and you watch Michigan against Syracuse or Michigan State versus Syracuse 2 years ago in the NCAA tournament, where they had Miles Bridges and they were absolutely loaded. They missed a wide open shots the whole game. They didn't play Jaren Jackson at spots. I thought that was a terrible idea, but they had wide open threes. And that has nothing to do with Jaren Jackson unless he's getting the offensive rebound. Then you have a different argument where, hey, we're missing shots. We need someone like Jaren Jackson to get the offensive rebound. That would make more sense than Ben Carter just sucks in the middle. Ben Carter is a guy who passed it out to wide open players who miss shots. So as much as I thought it was ridiculous and I fell into propaganda.
I'm all for playing Jackson because he can take over a game with the scoring, especially in the middle of that zone. He can turn around and pop a 50-footer. Jaren Jackson was late on those passes, and I think that's ultimately why Michigan State ended up getting so cold throughout the course of that game. And that was something that I think that Izzo was looking at when he made the decision to pull him. But so Jackson.
Well, I think that
mistake,
you know we look over.
Even though he was the most talented player on that team, he was making mental errors.
I would agree with that.
And Tom Izzo had it his way.
You got to have – look, there's two sides to it. Absolutely, you make shots, and then we're not having this conversation about not playing Jaren Jackson. But at the same time, you got to have your stars in there. And I think that it goes both ways. We got a caller in calling in now. You know, chime in on this. We're talking Michigan State basketball. Have you got anything else to talk about? What do you have for us?
Hello. Yeah, am I on? Oh, hey, how you doing?
Hey, I hear you. You got a little loud speaker there, but I hear you.
Yeah, I miss the good old days, you know, when it's like Adrian Adonis. I miss Lou Albano and Andre the Giant, Bob Backlund and Blue Meanie and, Berserker.
It's
a really big
Bam
Bam Bigelow. And
yeah. You're talking about wrestling, nutbag. All right, anyway, we're going to talk about, you know, the Spartans. We got some guy talking about Bam Bam Bigelow. We're going to get him off there. And, hey, nothing more.
Say that Tom Izzo is the ultimate warrior.
I got him tuned in here. Maybe he's still listening. Sorry, you can listen.
No,
but, you know, we don't talk wrestling, but thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in. I love wrestling.
Yeah,
we definitely smelled
what you were cooking.
Yeah, that guy, talk about having a turkey. That guy, you know, I think there was something more in his bowl for this holiday season. Did that guy say something about? Did he say something about Berserk? Was he saying I'm Berserk? I don't know. But anyway, on to the more important things in life. Boy, I'm going to tell you something here, guys.
Hey,
you know, if you're having one of those days, just sit at home. Yeah, just sit at home. There's just sometimes it's not worth, you know, doing anything in public, you know. Maybe that guy's just getting ready for some professional wrestling tryouts. Yeah, he's probably 360 pounds out of shape. And has a dog, and that's it. But anyway, we got football to talk about. I mean, let's dive into it. Basketball, you know, look, we got a long season. Bear with us in basketball. I mean, it's one of those deals where we're not going to sit here and go crazy because it's a long season. In football, it's a little easier to get a little ticked off and be riding on emotional highs and lows because every game kind of matters. What does matter is bowl games. I mean, I don't care what people say where – I used to be falling into that category of if you're not in the college football playoff, then it doesn't matter. You know, it does matter. So football season is not over. You know, Michigan State's got a game where they can make a bowl game. And, you know, we'll see what happens. In the end, it matters. Young kids playing, getting better, getting reps. You got to win Saturday. So let's talk Michigan State first. And then we'll dive into the game, Tyler.
Yeah, look, you know, this is a big deal. And it's weird to say that just because you're probably looking at a bowl game about 45 minutes to an hour away from you. And normally that's not a big deal if you live in the Midwest. But this is a big deal for Michigan State in regards to the fact that, hey, I really want to see Peyton Thorne get some more experience. but the entire left side of the line, including the center, all freshmen. The running back is a freshman. You have Julian Burnett, who is a freshman, who's going to play a lot. You have Jalen Naylor, who's going to end up getting a redshirt, so he will be a sophomore next year. He's going to play a lot next year. You have young guys that need 13 extra practices and, you know, just one more game. And
sure, let's get to the caller. We got another caller here before we wrap up, Tyler. Let's get to the callers. We got one more. What do you have for us?
Just a reminder, this is not a wrestling podcast, so if that's what you're calling in on.
You guys are talking about Hillbilly Jim. Yeah, he was a wonderful – he was one of my favorite wrestlers. I remember one time I was in Mobile, Alabama, and I saw Hillbilly Jim.
Oh, I got to listen to this. Okay, let me hear this, though.
Afterwards, and he was drinking beer with us, and you know, we went into the bathroom, and I sucked his cock. It was huge. The guy was just a real good sport.
Okay.
My God, it happened again. It happened again. Well, let me just tell you, it's a trouble with the Snap Podcast. We're having trouble with lunatics calling in on this show, so we won't be taking calls if you're a lunatic. But you know,
we won't be taking calls.
Let me tell you what.
We've got more important stuff to deal with. Michigan, Ohio State football, big deal. You know, Michigan State trying to get into that bowl game, a big deal as well. So, we're going to go.
Let me just say this real quick. This is very important. Tyler, you can post this later. I think what happens when we do these shows is, and there's a huge following for Michigan State and Michigan. And I think what we see is there's a lot of emotion that goes on to this thing. You got a lot of people who act like children who are adults. And I got a lot to say here about this because I've seen a whole lot this year, and I think it's been as bad as it's ever been. And probably the reason why is because Michigan won this year. And I think what happens when Michigan State has dominated that rivalry, you know, you hear a lot of the Spartans sticking their chest out, and I think a lot of the Michigan fans couldn't handle it. The one thing that I really want the athletes to know, because this is what's going on, Tyler, this is a new wave. When people talk about stuff, athletes read it. It's on Twitter. YouTube channels galore. Everybody is the next big thing talking about sports. They don't have a clue what's going on, but they want to talk about sports. What's hurting Michigan State in their football program right now is exactly what we just talked about. The constant feedback, the constant words, the constant negativity that is mirroring the Detroit Lions is affecting that program right now. I say that because I've seen it firsthand at Michigan. And I think what's happened, this is the one thing I think Jim Harbaugh's done really good. I don't know what he said in the meeting, and maybe it's just he's luck of the draw. This group of players are very tough-minded. You're not hearing a whole lot of things about Michigan football where their players are going on Twitter, they're ripping the fan. Have they done it in the past? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They've done it. I mean, it's been, you know, I can look back. I don't know the exact circumstance, but I think we remember in the Brady Hoke era how bad it was. And I even think I remember in the early Harbaugh years and maybe even recent where guys were saying stuff about fans. Fans need to expect a lot. These are primetime programs. But keep reality also in line. Or also realize these are college kids and you can want them to do better, but you don't have to say certain things. And I think that's what happens is, Tyler, you know this, and I know you hate it. Guys say whatever. They talk about coaches. They talk about a lot. Players read it, and it does hurt recruiting. It really does. I mean, I've been tied in with some guys who are really big into this. And Ohio State, they don't do it. I mean, they go crazy, but their support of the team is so high. I think it outweighs the negative feedback and comment. I think that's why Michigan's still kind of good in recruiting, where the negativity is terrible with their fan base. But because there's so much hype and they show up to games and there's so much media attention, it outweighs all the stupid fans saying stupid stuff. But would you agree, Tyler, that this needs to stop? There needs to be like a new wave of people. Maybe we could be part of it. Like, just stop. Stop being so negative as far as deflating your program. Now, we could say Brian Lewerke has to play better. Rocket Watts needs to know the plays. hey, Brandon Johns needs to do better. He's a big recruit. You can't throw the ball underneath the basket. Those are things his coaches are saying. But you can't be like, Brandon Johns is the worst basketball player I've ever seen. I can't even believe. Look, I don't think it was a good recruit for us, but I'm not going to go crazy. That's my point. And I think that's what's happening.
I think you're absolutely right. You look at Brian Lewerke. You know, he had a great sophomore season. Was playing well last year until he got hurt, which unfortunately was only week two. But he had his issues, and he tried playing through an injury. And then all the negative stuff comes out about him. Well, now you see it this year where, you know, during his sophomore year, he could throw a pick. Well, the next play he could throw a touchdown or, you know, just break off a 65-yard touchdown run. Now you look at him this year, he throws that pick, and then he can't hit an open receiver to save his life. And I feel like hearing that type of stuff last year, it turned him into – there's not really a nice way to say it. It turned him into a mental midget is what it did. Now when one bad thing happens, it just snowballs and then turns into an avalanche. And it's one of those situations where he just feels like I feel like he's immediately starting to hear the boo birds in his head before they even come out because of one bad play. And the thing is they're not all his fault. You look at that Illinois game, Cody White was probably supposed to curl in front of the safety, and instead he tried to go outside and beat the corner to try to make a bigger play. And it went right into the chest of an Illinois defender. Well, after that, even though that pass was – that interception was not on Lewerke, it got to him because he could not make play the rest of the game.
Yeah. I'm telling you right now, Tyler, you're absolutely right. I'm admitting where I went wrong. I think what opened my eyes really today was reading Shea Patterson, an article about him, how he could be the first Michigan quarterback ever to have 2 years of 22 touchdown passes and 2,600 yards passing. Now, I know Michigan's history of passing yards and all this is not that important because they haven't been a big-time passing team or program. But it kind of opened my eyes to say, you know, as much as Shea has struggled this year at times, he's been really good for 2 years. I mean, he's made good throws. You got to look back what it was with Wilton Spate and what it was with John O'Korn. And then you got to look at, you know, times with Denard and just not throwing the football very well. You look at Devin Gardner, who was very inconsistent. And then the Fourcier, it was just bad. Anytime it got a little brisk with weather. When it was under 40 degrees, Tate Fourcier was cold, and he wasn't playing well. You know, it's a California kid who's just not used to the weather.
Oh, yeah, it was cold.
And
it
then
was under 40
degrees. I think that's not cold, but, you know, it technically it is. He was freezing 40 degree or sub 40 degree weather, and he was a sissy. He was soft. I hate to say it, but he's not accustomed to playing in difficult environments. Also, not accustomed to playing with, you know, a program where if you play bad, you're going to hear about it. So it goes both ways. You know, players have to be tough too. I mean, you know, I was an athlete. If Joe Schmo says you're terrible, I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, you know what? Our fans are terrible. They treat me bad. You know, it's just not what you do as an athlete either. So I think Shea Patterson has really played well through.
We got like 2 minutes here to talk about the game. I think we need to get into this.
Oh, yeah. We got 4 or 5 minutes. Let's talk the game. So, look, I'm just going to let's jump into predictions. We talked about it enough. We know what Michigan needs to do. We know what Ohio State needs to do. Michigan needs to slow down the run. J.K. Dobbins, if he goes crazy, it's going to be a blowout. I think they hold him back a little bit, but I just think Ohio State is far too talented still. I think the weather will actually impact Michigan more in a bad way. I think they won't be able to run the football as strong on Ohio State if it's bad weather. And then I think it also allows Ohio State to bring a lot of pressure. And I think it could turn into Michigan-Notre Dame in reverse. And I really hope not. But I'm going to make a safe prediction here. You know, I think Ohio State win by 10. You know, I think that 31-21 is a good score. I think a late touchdown by Michigan or something like that. But I think that the weather won't be too bad where Ohio State's offense can really get clicking. I just don't think that Michigan has seen anything like Ohio State yet, and I think as much as it pains me to say that, I think Ohio State will run for over 200 yards. I think that offensive line is really good, and I don't think Michigan's defensive line is as good as people maybe say. They're just a little light in the shorts, so meaning they're not heavy. They're just not very big like they have been in the past. They're a smaller defense. And a smaller defense against Ohio State means big offensive line pushing you around with really fast skilled players in space. Good luck. So Ohio State will run for about 215 to 220. They'll win 31-21, and I'll have to hear about it for another year, and it sucks. Your thoughts, Tyler?
I've got my biggest concern is with that weather. You know, how's that going to impact Justin Fields' hand and what the situation is with that? You know, you saw him. He was very turnover-prone against Penn State. So I think that that's going to be a little bit of an issue. Again, we don't 100% know what the deal is, but that is his throwing hand. So I think it's going to be a little bit closer. That said, Shea Patterson's not really felt pressure. A lot of that has to do with the improvement of the offensive line. I don't think the offensive line improved enough to stop Chase Young. And so I think Shea Patterson's also going to have his own set of issues. I've got Ohio State winning this one 27-20. If Justin Fields were healthy, I would probably take away a touchdown from Michigan and give Ohio State two more. But I'm not sure if that's the case. I think the weather is going to be an issue. But like you said, J.K. Dobbins is an animal himself. K.J. Hill can still take the top off. I've got to go with Ohio State just because – you look at it, they've won 15 in the last 16. I think if I go 16 to the last 17, I don't think it's – I think it would be a different story if Fields were healthy, but we're going to have a good game tomorrow because he's not, and I think the weather is going to impact his hand.
Yeah, I really hope the weather just doesn't get as bad as they say, but I think it's going to. I mean, they've been pretty accurate this year as far as when it – here comes the storm. Here comes the rain, here comes the snow, here comes the terrible weather. Good luck, players. Hang on to that ball as well as you can. And here comes the Buckeyes. Oh, I can hear Brent Musburger, the Buckeyes. Well, you know, I can't wait to hear that all day. But I think Michigan State also wins. You know, we got to throw that in there. I think Michigan State wins. I'm going to go with, because the weather is going to probably be terrible there as well, I think it's going to be very low scoring. I can see... Well, you know what? I think I'll give the Sparty 20. I think the Spartans, Maryland's defense is atrocious, but if the weather is going to be bad, I think 20 points is good, and I think Michigan State wins 20-10. I think Maryland's just bad. I think Maryland's just a bad football team, and that offense is very inconsistent at times. In bad weather, not happening. So Michigan State will go bowling, and they'll be local probably. That'll be kind of fun. And Michigan will play in another bowl against Florida or something like they always do. And, hey, we'll get really full into basketball.
Alabama,
and
you might
fun.
Get Alabama, Michigan.
Oh, I hope not. Well, you know, at least they don't have Tua, you know, but I think the other players will make up for the loss of him. But, yeah, we'll figure it out, man. This is a fun weekend. I'm excited, man. You know, I hope you all had a great holiday. I hope you ate well. Stay blessed. And, hey, we'll talk more about the game. And the Spartan football game. And then, of course, we got to talk about, and we got to talk Michigan basketball, right, against Gonzaga. That's a big one today. We'll talk about that Sunday as well. So we got a day off, and then we'll get there.
Michigan Louisville on Tuesday, Michigan State Duke on Tuesday. It's going to be another big week of basketball, too.
I can't wait. So Sunday, we'll talk about the game and the football game with Michigan State and Maryland, and we'll also talk. This Gonzaga-Michigan game, I really hope it's a tough one and a close one, but I have my feeling that Gonzaga is going to run wild on this one. So, again, for Tyler Hayward, I'm Jay File. Thanks for listening. Again, this isn't a wrestling show, by the way. Had quite the callers today. Wow. Incredible. We won't let that happen again. Yeah, quite the caller. I think I guess he has two cell phones, though. There was two different numbers. But, I think anyway, I don't want to get too deep into this. But, thanks again for listening. Hey, check us out, Facebook, Trouble with Snap Podcast. I may go live and break down the game. I think Tyler should, too. I think Tyler should talk about some basketball. I'll get these Spartan fans in check on basketball. And we'll take any of your questions, your comments, as long as it's not about wrestling again. And, hey, we're ready, man. This is a fun time of year. We're getting around the holiday. A lot of things happen. It's early season basketball. Keep your expectations in check. And, hey, thanks again for tuning in. Again, Trouble with Snap Podcast.